Jack shut the whole system down for a minute.
just by getting onto Skype, I jinxed everything.
It is his way.
It is. I hate Skype.
Do you really? I kind of like it. I don't hate it.
No, I don't mind it at all. I've the narrative that I can destroy the network by my presence.
I feel like that's youth and self-respect.
Youth? I'm not sure what.
I feel like Jack can destroy youth and self-respect.
Oh, that's what he can destroy, yes. Yeah.
I have. It usually costs me a couple hundred bucks, and but I've done both of those things.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 81st episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for March 2018. In this episode, we talk Adepticon with Community Pat. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode.
And welcome back to Dead Zone the Podcast. This is episode 81. It's going to be a good one. We're creeping up to Adepticon, and we're going to have some discussions. With me is my co-host, young Rob Harper.
Yellow.
And joining us, we have a special guest who's going to usher in the Adepticon era. And that delightful young man is Community Pat.
Hello, guys.
So, Rob, let's get this ball rolling. What's on the agenda for today?
Well, we got lots of news, and obviously we have Adept to talk. But this would have been an episode a while ago, but due to plague, we've had to delay it enough that we're just going to do it as episode 81. But I think everyone is mostly healthy now. No one's dead.
Yet.
We'll see by the end of the show, but we'll get into this. So we do have some news. The first bit of news is that the GCPS faction and starter boosters are now available finally for Dead Zone. They were only available before as army boxes for Warpath, but now if you don't want that many models, you want it just for Dead Zone, they are offering it. The starter is 25 pounds or $40 US, and it does come with a Major General, 20 hard plastic troopers or rangers. They have head options and weapon options. You have the engineer and two weapon teams, which is cool. And the option on the weapon teams, you can have the mortar or the autocannon. And it also comes with that rules pamphlet that they're putting out, which is cool. So you have a hard copy of the GCPS army instead of having to just get the PDF, printing it yourself, I guess. And, yeah, that's a pretty good starter.
Yeah, that's a ton of miles for $40.
Yeah, that's the thing with GCPS. And they have... You have so much variety in what you can do with them. You can build anything out of that. That's a pretty good list. So, that one's the booster that that one's the starter. The booster is the same price, but it comes with five more hard plastic, troopers or rangers, two more weapons teams, another engineer, and, a strider, which is always good. You need that strider.
Oh, strider.
So the GCPS get their own strider. I like how they painted this one up differently and even have a different configuration than the rest.
Oh, I get it. You get the anti-tech weapons in the booster and then the anti-infantry in the starter.
Well, they like to make it so you have to buy both. I think that's their whole scheme. But you don't need to, because either of them would be enough to have a Dead Zone army for sure.
Yeah. But for the price, for the booster... $40, like that's what you'd pay for a strider.
Yeah, they had two weapons teams too, which is cool.
So now, yeah, that's a pretty decent value.
And yeah, this weapons team actually it's a different assortment. The other one it was a mortar and autocannon. This one comes with two different types because it comes with missile launcher or laser cannon. So you get all of them. You'd get all the different options for them. I think most people are using mortars. I think mortars are pretty good on those, but cool stuff. Anything else anybody has to say about these? The GCPS? None of us really play them much, I don't think. You were saying, Pat, about maybe starting some?
Yeah, I was thinking about maybe picking this up and starting a GCPS. That way I can combine it with my Marauders and make a giant Warpath army.
Fill it out?
Yeah, why not?
You're finally realizing the orcs aren't good enough?
Oh, no, I'm going to split the roles. The orcs will be giving the orders to these soft-shell crabs.
These lowly humans.
Well, I did paint up a few GCPDS, and the problem was getting Commissioner Gordon's mustache right. But after that, mine looked pretty similar to the ones that they're here with, a basic green and like a red for the visor and stuff. Didn't wow, you know, it's not wildly sci-fi. I can see why some people go, meh, you know, they are what they are. But I stopped when it was reasonable. Now, young Rob Harper, once he gets that paintbrush in his hand and the dream in his heart,
I painted up all my GCPS. It was like, I don't know how many of them, probably 50.
Did you paint them up in Tamiya red?
I think I had that before I had the Tamiya red, but they are red and black. They're mostly black with red highlights. And I probably would have done them with a Tamiya if I had them at the time. It would have been so much easier. It would have gone a lot quicker. But yeah.
And you might not have rued to the day that you even started the project.
Yeah, that was, I think, last summer. After. Yeah.
For weeks after, you didn't even want to paint anything.
Yeah, yeah. But we have enough, though. We got all that from Warpath Kickstarter. So, yeah, we won't be needing to pick up any of this. We have all that. So,
yeah.
There's also some Star Saga news. Wave 2 is on track to deliver in June, which is nice. I'm glad we heard that. We're going to get some extra rules and stuff. Jack and I haven't had a chance to play more than the first two missions, I think.
Yes.
What do you guys think of it?
Oh, it's really fun. I had a lot of fun. I don't know. Jack, you had fun?
You had played Dungeon Saga at least once or twice, so you were already like, it seemed very intuitive. And with the two that we did were the first like kind of primers. So I didn't get too deep into it, but we were watching Coach and his East Coast crew playing via the internet, and they were having a blast. So I think it's going to take a few more games, and then we'll get into that, into that mindset.
Yeah, we want to play it more as a co-op game too, where they were playing it. Andrew likes to be the bad guy, so he's been the Nexus player, but we're going to try to play it as co-op to get more into that. I'm sure we'll have more coverage of it once we get more time. Adepticon's really taken up a lot of our time here, but there is options. They show in the pictures of the new books coming out with a nice layout. It looks similar to the other layout. But they also have painted minis. They have the new Broodmother, who's really well done. Jack, you're a rat fan. What do you think about this thing?
Well, obviously, that's like a pro. You're not. I'm on my best day. I wouldn't even be suitable to base coat for the guy who did the actual painting on this. I mean, that's obvious. But I like the Broodmother. I like this model better than some of the other models. I don't know why. It kind of looks kind of like the Piper stole a Broodmother's armor. And like he's showing up at the Halloween party, like, hey guys, look at me, I'm the Broodmother.
It's a lot bigger than the Piper. It's as big as the Piper should be.
He shows up at the ball with the same dress.
how embarrassing!
And he just takes his pipes and then he scampers out.
Hey, Pat, have you been getting into Star Saga too?
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed doing all the demos we played for it. Unfortunately, like you said, Adepticon's been taking a lot of time, so I haven't been able to continue playing the campaign with my little gaming group out here. So, but I do enjoy it a lot. I like the way I think everything that I hate to say was wrong or not fine-tuned in Dungeon Saga is fixed in Star Saga.
Yeah, they just polished it up. More of the basis, yeah.
Yeah, and streamlined it, kind of thing like that. I do feel like it's a little harder to kill the heroes than it is in Dungeon Saga, that's for sure.
Yeah, you were, all, once again, you were Nexus, or actually, what is it called in Dungeon Saga, the bad guy?
The Overlord.
Overlord, yeah. You like killing the poor... that's the games I've played where it was against Pat, and Pat tried to murder me multiple times.
I tried to murder everyone. You just were rolling very poorly.
That's true. That is true. But, yeah, it's, so far it's fun. And these models are cool.
Well, Schultzy was put out the bat signal to see if anyone wanted to play at Adepticon, and I think someone offered to bring a copy, so... Maybe with some organization, we'll be able to get in a game with a bunch of us, you know, the crew, the gang.
Yeah, it'd be fun. The next model here is the Crystallin Champion here, big stone hand. That's the Crystallins in they came in Dreadball, right, with the clear plastic. I'm more of a fan of the painted version.
Yeah, you know, I didn't leave. Mine clear. I primed them and then painted them up. I just I like the clear plastic itself, but for a more contrasting look, I think the paint looks better.
Yeah, Jack, you've been working on them. What do you think?
Yeah, I started. I thought I was going to be Johnny Original, and I started making some parts of them that looked like stone, and I was leaving a bunch that was clear, and then I don't know, maybe a week later we were looking at something or something, I forget, but you're like, hey, here's Crystallins, and it was probably from Mantic, but they had done the exact same thing in like the exact same spots, and I was like, oh. So the wind from my sails, I still have them sitting partially done off the corner. Maybe I'll finish them up. Maybe I won't.
What about this guy? You like the look of him?
I think once Hellboy finds out this guy stole his hand, that there's gonna be some trouble.
Yeah, you paint that up red. See, we've got the four fingers.
Yeah, it's a Hellboy hand for sure.
Conversions? Can you say it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, pretty soon we won't need to do any conversions because Hellboy will be in our midst and we don't have to care.
That's true.
The next one is another Hund. I like the Huns with their forearms, but this one's cool. I like his gun. It's nice and sci-fi streamlined gun. And he's got a little bit of a smile on his face, which I think is funny.
His pose is a bit weird.
I was just going to say, it looks like he's stabbing himself in the back.
I think he's drawing another pistol out. I think that's what he's doing. It's just a bad angle.
Oh. It reminds me of, I don't know if you guys read those books way back in the day. They were called Build a Galactic Hero.
No.
It does ring a bell slightly.
Basically, he's like a space marine kind of guy from Earth, but he's just a horrible soldier. And then at some point, he gets his arm blown off. But they didn't have any more right arms, so they sewed another left arm onto him. That's what this reminds me of right now.
But I like that race, and it seems like someone else at Mantic does in the head office too, because they're coming out fast and furious. I like that they're expanding the line of different species in the universe, and it gives it more depth. To me, they're still a poor man's Sorak. I would still, any day of the week, paint up a Sorak. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'd rather do this guy.
Yeah, I would think I'd rather do a Hun myself, too.
Well, then, all your Soraks belong to me now.
I don't hate the Sorak, but...
By nautical law, all of your Soraks are now my possession.
Nautical law.
Space law. The next one is that is he a robot, Pat? Do you even know anything about this guy?
No, I don't actually. He might I think he is a robot.
Yeah, he's something. He's a unique character anyways. He's got the wing-like things that can use as shields, and he's got nice blasters. He's cool looking. Once again, amazing paint job on him. I really like that how that one's done.
Yeah, this one turned out nice. The question is he part of the original shape-changing robot kind of quote-unquote race from Dreadball, or is he part of the Neobots now?
I don't know. It might not even be a robot. It might be a suit, but it looks like it's a robot to me. That waist is way too skinny to be a person, I think, in there.
Oh, you know what? Maybe it's an Asterion.
Could be like another type of Cypher. That'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe.
Cyphers? Oh, that'd be awesome if we get
some. Maybe it's an Asterion heavy.
We wish.
Look at the markings on the leg. If that's Strider-sized Asterion, imagine.
Yeah, just to get this and blow it up to like twice the height, that'd be cool.
I mean, it could be Asterion for Star Saga.
Yeah. I don't know. It looks like what happens when Rob drinks too much absinthe. And then, like, this is what he describes.
It's true. It's happened before. This is what Jack drinking too much absinthe describes. Yes. So is this Sorak Sword Spawn doing the breakdancing?
I was going to say, I feel like there should be a caption like Electric Boogaloo right underneath it.
It's mid-80s urban youth enjoying a cardboard mat in a boombox. That's what's
going on. Exactly. He's the wrong color. He should be red, right? Other than that, he's pretty cool.
Mine are green.
Jack has one. His sword spawn's green, right, Jack?
Yeah, I wanted him to stand out. And now he looks like a meek, demure. It looks like he's sitting at church compared to what now is going to be canon for the sword spawn's mentality. Look at that guy. He is cray-cray.
They're not afraid of dynamic poses now, that's for sure. It's gone a long way since they started.
I do enjoy, I mean, we're making fun of it, but it is a good-looking model.
Ah, it's cool, yeah.
Just the level of detail that has increased since the first wave of the armor plates on the arms.
The hands, horns. Look at the webbed hands.
Yeah, the horns now have, instead of being like, they had like three segments, now they're like, I don't know. Everything has been improved upon. The model, like the model range itself, but in some of these in particular, everything's just gotten better and better.
Yeah, I've noticed that with the Vanguard Kickstarter too. All those sculpts are so amazing too. It's the step up in sculpting lately seems to be a big, big jump.
Yeah. It's just like anything else. The more and more you do it, or the more and more you put stuff out, just the better things get.
And you can see what you can do, too. Like, you're pushing the boundaries now.
Yeah.
And lastly, we have a, I believe it's a Vierman in full armor. He's like a Iron Man Vierman.
He's the Vierman answer to the Armored Terraton Shock Trooper.
Yeah. Yeah, similar.
It does look like that's like a cattle prod type weapon. Look at the tip, it looks like it could be a...
you're right. I was thinking it was a gun, but it's not. It's a sword of some sort. Or like you said, a cattle prod, yeah.
It's a sword.
Yeah, yeah. That's neat. You do some glow effects on the end with electricity. That'd be kind of cool. And he's got his usual spitter or whatever is in his hand, the classic Vierman weapon. But yeah, I can't wait to get all these guys. Hopefully we get some stats in Dead Zone eventually for them. That'd be very nice.
And what are these guys in relevance to, say, the Kickstarters? Or, like, are we anticipating these arriving for us?
Yeah, in June. This is Star Saga Wave 2. These are also Wave 2.
If you Kickstarted, this is your Wave 2 stuff.
Yep. And I think they're all mercs, right? I think they're all good guys.
Yeah, I think these are the mercs.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the Vermin's a merc. I think he's a boss.
Oh, is he a bad guy?
He might be a boss.
Huh. Interesting. So that's it'd be fun to play against them. We'll take a short break and we'll be back for the main topic, which is Adepta talk for Adepta prep.
Adepta prep talk?
Yeah.
Just rolls off the tongue.
Yep.
Hey, this is Community Pat, and you are listening to Rob and Jack on Dead Zone, the podcast. We'll be right back.
And now, the Chop Shop with Community Pat.
And welcome back from that musical interlude. We still have Pat here. He hasn't run away yet.
I have not. cannot, because I am duct taped to a chair with a mic strapped to the side of my face.
Our secrets of doing interviews is coming out.
Yeah. Rob will have to edit that out. If that makes it to the podcast, well, no one will be our guest.
All I know is I went to bed in Chicago and I woke up in Ontario.
That's right.
When that redhead with the that redhead with that mustache just offered you a nightcap, and you got nice and sleepy.
At least we didn't take your liver.
My kidney.
That's right. So, Adepticon is coming up quick and fast, and way faster than we expect. It's only like 16 days away at this point, or well, until we leave. It's coming up really fast.
Yes, it is.
There's much for us to be doing beforehand, but once we get there, it should be fun. Everything coming together on your end, Pat? It's all clean and easy going right now?
I would love to say yes, but it's not.
Is it ever?
No. I mean, no. I just have to smile and shake my head.
And eventually they'll come together and then you'll be like, something's wrong.
And just like anything else I ever do, I'll figure it out when it happens.
That's right. It always comes together, but only because of your hard work, I think.
Yeah. It's just, you know, just things. Life. We'll just call it life.
Right. But this is the big deal, like for tabletop wargaming. Like, this isn't small potatoes. This is
if you're a wargamer, not just a gamer, a wargamer, this is the convention to go to.
Yeah, for sure. It's all about the miniatures in this one, I think. There's a bit of role playing and a bit of board games, but that's really side to the miniature games.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And the dealer hall, which is always getting bigger. Should be bigger even than last year. Should be fun.
Should be, yep.
And you got your same booth, same spot? You always get the same spot?
Should be, yeah. We should be. We should have that corner/island.
Yeah, you kind of reserve your middle spot right in the middle of everything.
Yeah, so I think it'll be good times, you know. And if you're not familiar, if you walk towards the middle of the dealer hall, that's where we will be.
And you always have a huge banners on the sides and a huge banner above, right? So it's hard to miss.
Yeah,
you
guys. We'll have the big giant. You'll see the big giant Kings of War 10-foot banner plus the Warpath 10-foot banner.
Yeah, and you have one of the bigger. I would say one of the biggest booths, right? Like, there's maybe a few others slightly bigger, but it's a good size.
Yeah, it's a decent size. It's a 20x20. So
yeah, and this year is going to be kicking off. Dreadball, right? Dreadball is the big release this year.
That's right. Dreadball is the Adepticon will be the Dreadball launch party. We have some cool Dreadball stuff going on. There is buy the core set and any team for $100. That's the Dreadball special. The Adepticore championship is going on Thursday afternoon. That person will be crowned Dreadball national champion interim until the official championship convention is announced.
Hint, hint, there's going to be another one.
Hint, hint. Hint, hint at the words Mantic Open Day are now a true thing. Dates are still to BD, TBD, but we're looking at the end of September. We're almost done finalizing the contract, so I can kind of be a little more forthwith with everything. It will be in Rosemont, Illinois, which is just a hop, skip, and jump from the airport. So if you're planning to come out for this thing, you don't even have to worry about renting a car because there's a shuttle.
That's cool.
Oh, really?
Is it closer than Schaumburg then? Or is it
is very close. Oh, it's closer than Schaumburg, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well. Because Schaumburg's right there, too.
Yeah, Schaumburg's still a bit of a drive. But this, so it's like airport Rosemont.
So the question is, how many minutes is it from your house?
From my house?
Yeah.
It's maybe about, with the traffic, maybe about 15, 20 minutes.
There you go. So I see that it's convenient for you to do this. Well, of course, that's where all the Mantic warehouse is too in your area, and everything's easy to get there.
It's convenient. One of the reasons why I chose this area is because easy access to and from the airport. Hotel provides a free shuttle, so no one has to pay Uber or a taxi or rent a car, unless they want to. You know, don't say just because we're doing this, you don't have to rent a car. But then you're also walking distance from the hotel to the Blue Line, which will take you into the city if you want to go into the city. There's big giant outlet mall across the street, as well as a indoor skydiving place.
So if anybody wants to break their neck while they're at Mantic Open Day,
so if you feel like you want to throw down a little skydiving before you play a game of King's War or playing the Dead Zone Championship, feel free.
Yes, yeah, so you're pretty much consolidating all your championships to one day that, for you guys, right?
Is yeah, one weekend, basically.
Yeah. It's just to get it all together and get it more organized so that you guys kind of run it. Because that is, yeah, as it is now with Adepticon, you guys have to play by their rules. Hence the reason the scheduling this year is pretty crazy with the all the sci-fi stuff on one day and then the trying to work around the Kings of War. And
you know, and Ronnie's always said in the past, someday there will be an open day in the States. And so that time is now.
Yeah, that's cool. Yep, we'll have to try to make it there because that's going to be an event, I can tell.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. So, but we digress from Adepticon.
Yes, let's get back to Adepticon. For Adepticon, we were talking about Dreadball. That's gonna be huge there. That's gonna be the big thing. And I'm sure you're gonna have demos and everything of that going on all the time.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have demos, things like that. Also, we might have some Dreadball organized play kits there. I'm not sure. I have to get with one of the guys in the UK, see if we're gonna have those. So if you are looking to get, if you're a retailer and you're an Adepticon or you're like a store champion and you want to run a Dreadball League or tournament, blah, 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 you might be able to pick up a Dreadball organized play kit at the booth. I will talk to our guy in charge of that and see about getting some of that. You're going to get 6 exclusive coaching dice, special dice. That we had made for it. You'll get 3 trophies, 3 certificates, and 8 limited edition event cards for your deck.
That's cool. So it's stuff, that's how you get them, yeah.
Yeah, so you can only get these cards if you buy the Organized Play Kit.
So this may or may not be available at Adepticon.
Because I don't know if we have all the parts available for it yet.
It'll be for sale on the website soon anyways, right?
Yes. Yeah, most definitely. If we can't have it at Adepticon, it'll be shortly afterwards then.
Because they have the Dead Zone one, I know. I think there's a King's War one too, isn't there, that you guys offer?
A play kit?
Yeah.
Yes, I think there's a Dead Zone one too. Or either that or we are revamping the Dead Zone one.
Oh, cool. And what else is going on then? After that's pretty much the first event, right? Is Dreadball that you guys are running?
King's War Team Tournament.
Oh, King's War Team. That's always fun. That people have fun with that one.
That's like a fan favorite. That people just love to play that. Kind of gets their weekend going, you know, their game weekend going. So it's a nice loose 1,000 point per person, 2,000 points per side team tournament. There's some little fun scenarios that one of my Pathfinders have written. And it's really just a laid back of tournament event in itself. So
yeah, that's just something to get people into the playing. That's on what day? That's on Thursday too.
That's Thursday morning. And then shortly after that, Dreadball will happen.
Yeah.
We can play the game. Is Tyler signed up for it? And
well, I think he said he's not doing King's War Team Tournament because, he doesn't have any friends, but, But he is in the Dreadball. I know he's in the Dreadball one, obviously. Yeah, Tyler is the Iron Man of this year. Tyler and Joe Neat. I think Joe Neat's going to be in quite a bit too, right?
Yeah, he's not playing the team tournament one now, I think, because I think the guy that was going to be his partner is no longer going to Adepticon.
Oh, he should team up with Tyler.
I was just going to say, that sounds like a perfect scenario. But
well, you know, maybe that was talked between the two, and then maybe it was decided it was best that they didn't team up.
They still want to stay friends.
That's sort of like when Rob says, hey, you want to do something, and I say no all the time. it keeps the working relationship, you know,
that's right,
in balance.
So that's Thursday wrapped up.
And then Friday we roll right into Dead Zone.
Yes. Early Friday.
Crack of dawn.
I think it's, what is it? 8 a.m.? 9 a.m.? Something like that.
Chicken might start at 7:30, I think.
Really? Yeah. I'll try not to wake up for that. Luckily I'm not in the tournament. Jack, how do you feel about that?
I already know for a fact that you've been voluntold that you're going to be there and you're going to be functioning in some sort of a capacity. So enough of your lazy attitude and your flippant comments. You'll be there.
I can roll in late though, I think.
Oh.
Hopefully you can set the boards up the night before. That'd be the best thing. So we don't have to.
Oh yeah. We're going to definitely have everything set up the day before.
Yeah. And obviously all of us are going to be out there playing and screwing around all, like Jack and I get in on, I think, Tuesday night or Tuesday day, I think. So, we'll be there all that time looking for games, looking for people to teach us the new Dreadball. So if anybody sees us, yes.
Looking for games in all the wrong places.
That's right. And, we've pledged to take over that room to make sure that, games are playing played constantly in there.
Yes. It's going to be good. So, I mean, I think we're pretty close to selling out the Dead Zone tournament. I think before early registration closed, where were we at? 17? 18?
Yeah, I think it was 17 when pre-registration closed. But
yeah, out of 20. So hopefully...
I'm sure that'll get sold out.
Yeah. Because it'll be fun. Last year was a blast. I think everyone had a great time.
Jack was a ringer. He had to quit halfway through, unfortunately. But this year, you're not a ringer, right, Jack? You're going to be playing legit.
No, at no point was I contacted by anyone in official capacity to say, hey, you know, just in case. So now I have to come legit. I have to.
That's because I wanted you to come legit.
He's been getting some montages with Coach, getting some training up and punching beef and things like that. It's been pretty scary, frankly. Jack's been.
Who's been singing the Karate Kid training montage song?
Georgie was there. I'm sure he was singing. He likes to sing.
Well, Eye of the Tiger.
That's true.
Eye of the Goblin. That's just synergy right there.
What team are you going to be playing, Jack? Are you going to release what your faction is?
No.
Marauders. No,
that is what my coach has told me, that I'm too forthcoming with my information, that I'm too, that I smile too much. He says he had a billboard with a bunch of pictures taken from last year's event. And he's like, look, what's that? I was like, my smile. What's that? I'm enjoying myself. What's that?
I say you put your list out there. Be a true competitor.
Okay, I'm taking Veerman, and I'm going to be doing two tunnel runners for sure. But it's either going to be a nightmare with two drills or a terror with a spitter. That's the final thing. Rob's going to be running me through some paces probably next week on the list to see. And it'll be finalized soon, but that's just between the three of us. As long as if this doesn't make it up a podcast, well, then I won't have to be doing laps.
The three of us and our loyal listeners.
Yes. Yes.
But that's good. It's nice to see that the Veerman have come so far that they came from a joke to a team that you're actually going to be using. And I know some other people are going to be taking them too. So that's a nice sign of the progression of Dead Zone. That's these guys that used to be like, who would ever take that? Jack almost took him last year as a joke, but now he's taking them as a legit list. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, we also got to jet bike races. We're in those. We're in one of those heats. We have to remember to actually, we were supposed to do it last year. This time we have to maybe not do so much happy hour and maybe actually make it to the chip bike races. So,
well, you guys are in a place where there's no happy hour, so.
Well, the difference is happy hour is going to be all the time now. It's just there's no limits on us anymore.
Well, I guess the way it should have been phrased is that you guys don't have the option of having a free happy hour.
That's right. But compared to our liquor prices, yours are, it might as well be free. So
that is true. That is true. Every second beverage is just for free.
We'll just pour it out for our homies.
Well, it's also cheaper because it's not as strong as your Canadian hooch.
That's true.
You're drinking off of it; it's all the same.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think for Adepticons, for the jet bike races, I think we're in a. I think Rob was more more reasonable with his choice of which heat we're in. The last year, last year we chose the first heat, first thing in the morning. We were expecting to be fresh-faced. And no, we walked away and said, we'll catch another one. And we just never did.
Yeah, this one's like afternoon sometime, I think. So we should be pretty safe there.
That'll be good. The jet bike races are always fun. So if anyone was learning the jet bike races are it's a race-type game using the jet bikes, but it's not an actual tournament in itself other than it's kind of one of these side events that I have running while the tournaments are running. So if you're not a competitive player, you can enter any one of these side events that we have going on to play.
And it is true that your jet bike is to be little more than just, you know, it's not supposed to be the combat jet bike that that you'd expect to see in the Dead Zone, but some NASCAR'd up paint jobs, some flair, some
That's right. It's not that you can't knock them in the wall, though, to try and not to knock them out of the race, but.
So it is just like NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. Rubin's racing, Cole.
That's right.
If you wanted to get a little wild with your paint jobs and make a jet bike for the jet bike race, that, you know, a little eye catching, that's something that is appreciated by one and all.
Yep, Jack and I have modded up some jet bikes, but there's also been people on the Dead Zone Fanatics on Facebook modding up jet bikes, so it should be interesting. Well, hopefully everybody gets in there and plays. And I think the jet bikes are during the Dreadball tournament and the team tournament. I think that's when they're on. Because during Dead Zone is the Mech Wars. That's the other one that we've created some monstrous mechs for.
Nice.
We'll probably not be playing in those because we will be busy. Maybe might be able to catch the later Mech War after Dead Zone Tournament. But I think that one sold out because it is after the Dead Zone Tournament.
Yeah.
During the Firefight Tournament. So,
But that was a nice little, that was created by longtime friend, JP for a Mantic Open Night many, many years ago. And it was a very fun night. I guess that was the first time you guys came out for Adepticon too, wasn't it?
Yes. It was. That was the first time I ever met Andrew. Andrew kicked my butt playing Mech Wars. Little kid. He's just like beating me on down and bad-mouthing me. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, that's I met Bill Terrainaholic, Bill Foreman, and I didn't know who he was. And
that was the first Mantic night we went to. I think it was first Mantic night, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was the first Mantic or second?
I'm not sure. But
all blurs.
As you said, those mech wars, we got some, we're gonna lend us some of our mechs to be, for anybody who doesn't have a mech who wants to come play. And, should be fun times for that too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fun game. It's been re-updated to reflect version 2 rules and everything, so, it's a good time.
Yeah.
We expect to see lots of stunt bots.
Yeah. Only Pat has all the stunt bots in creation.
There'll be two, hopefully.
Nice. Yeah, we got some crazy Striders. I'm sure there'll be some Iron Ancestors there. So,
yeah, there'll be a little bit of everything, I think.
Yep, should be fun times. And then the big one is the Firefight Tournament, the first ever Mantic Firefight Tournament, I think that's what you're saying?
Yeah, first official Mantic Warpath Firefight Tournament. I'm quite pleasantly surprised at the turnout on this tournament.
Yeah, I think it's like, last time I checked, it was like 15 or 20 or something like that.
15 or 16, which is a great turnout for the first one. Joe Neat's very excited. He's been posting variants of his list as he keeps changing it. But I think as to date, his last post is his updated list. He's going to be running Plague if anyone's interested.
And then I know that Coach and E-Rock and Tyler are all in that one too, I believe. And the Terrainaholic and Sue are both in there too.
Bill and Sue, did Coach say what he's going to run, or is he keeping that a secret?
I think
too?
He's keeping it secret. He's a secretive guy. Like he said, Jack's going to be in trouble for letting out what he did. So
yeah.
No, you're going to edit that out. I'll just make my claims that I kept my game face on.
I'll just change your voice. I'll do one of those like to hide the party.
We'll put a Dahmer dot on your face.
Yeah,
just pixelate my face so no one knows it's me.
In all honesty, it's not going to make a difference if you tell people what's in your list or not.
Well, yeah. You can kind of guess what's going to be in everybody's list because there's only so many factions and so many good
players. If you're going to build a list specifically around one player's list, then your list is going to suck against other people.
Who you may not even play that one person.
Exactly. So, I mean, letting people know what's in your list is irrelevant in my way of thinking.
Yeah. Unless you want to steal the list, I guess, and play the exact same one.
Yeah, but come on now.
It just comes down to a matter of you got to make a list that you think is well-rounded enough to meet any opponent that comes up also thinking about what the objectives are. There's a lot of give and take that I don't know if when you're making a list you can worry too much about what Jack from the Dead Zone podcast is bringing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Is Firefight on the 6x4 tables?
It is going to be on the 6x4 tables. Wow.
That's crazy too, yeah. So that's taking up a lot of space right there.
Yeah, well, 1500 is right on the edge of being 4x4, 6x4. So why not just give a little more elbow room, you know?
Yeah, especially for the first one, let people get used to it.
Yeah.
You can tweak it later.
Exactly. We got to work out the kinks this first time around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you see what's going on, and yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, I think the only other thing is Kings of War, right?
That's right. Saturday, you're going to have Kings of War, the Adepta Clash, two-day tournament, six games, 2250 points. Using the Clash of Kings 18 rule supplement. Standard Kings of War. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, the Kings of War is always popular there. That's the big one.
Always that is impressive. Big one.
That's the two-day tournament. You got to be Iron Man for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be dedicated to because you're spending your whole weekend playing.
Tyler's playing that one, too.
Is he? Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's bringing his ogres. He just put his video up.
He made that whole thing with the ogres. It looked really good, so props to Tyler on that.
That was probably one of the most impressive things I've seen. The paint job throughout, their individual models were painted very well, but overall the whole army just kind of, you know, it worked. I was thoroughly impressed anyways, but last year just walking past all the armies setting out, there's a high bar there to begin with. So I guess you really do have to, if you're going to come and make an army, you want to do your best.
Yeah, it's always a nice parade of armies there. That's true with any of the tournaments, though. I can't wait actually to see the Firefight tournament just to see all those armies. Huge scale of Warpath armies. That should be fun to watch.
I'm excited to see that, see what everyone has done, how their color schemes look, their choice of models.
I know people are working on display boards, which is cool.
Yes, I'm glad that. I think that's as far. I'm not a huge tournament player, but if I was to play in a tournament, I personally would have a moving a tray.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of a thing to do now.
Even when I went out to New York to play that Dead Zone tournament, I had a small one made up.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. So Jack, get on it. Make yourself a display board.
I think just transportation is the issue in this situation.
It's got to be something that you're willing to throw it at the end.
Yeah, that's exactly how I made mine.
That's what Coach did last year, too.
I think what I did is I even put mine together the building part, because I had some Dead Zone tiles with me. I don't think I put them together till I got to New York.
Yeah, just assemble it. We do have time, Jack, if you want to bring something, we can assemble it in the hotel room, and then we'll have to see. We'll have to see what we got.
Chances are no.
Other things that are going on for Adepticon 2, we're working with Kenny from Next Level Painting in Long War. They are doing it's a treasure hunt game. Oh, yeah, you're going to get a treasure map from these guys from the Long War, and it'll take you to our booth, and then you will get a Walking Dead walker and get 10% off anything on the stand.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I don't know the particulars of their treasure hunt, but it'll lead you to us.
You probably ruined a part of the treasure hunt. They'll know that there's something there now.
maybe I did. I'm sorry if I did. secondly, we also are having our own Dreadball, and to go with the launch, we're having a Hunt the Blaine game, which is kind of a scavenger in itself. What you're going to do is you're going to pay attention to the Facebook pages and the Instagram page of Mantic Games. Throughout the weekend, I am going to be hiding a Blaine model, a golden Blaine model, a 28 mil, not the big giant trophy. It's going to be any one of the Blaines that we make. So if you don't have a Blaine, you might be able to, this version of Blaine, you might be able to get it if you find it. But I'm going to be posting it throughout the convention center, hidden, the area where it's hidden. If you find it, I need you to post a picture of you standing by the area where you found it with, you know, pick, like almost like a selfie, post it to Facebook, come down to the booth with the Blaine and show me the picture, and you're going to get, I think we also decided 10% off.
Nice.
On something at the booth. Either 10% or 10 bucks. I can't remember.
Cool. That's it's a fun little thing.
Yeah. And so, like I said, you might get the Mars. You might be able to get the Mars Attack Blaine if you didn't get one. You might get the new Star Saga Blaine if you can find it. You know, so depending on where you, you know, so some of these Blaines are hard to find.
Jack, we should get our Blaines we have and just paint them up on gold and just hide them all over the place.
And I think you have to get inside Pat's head at some point and think, okay, where would Pat hide something? You have to kind of like just crack open his skull and scoop out the delicious information that you. And
that's so scary because it's Pat. It's probably going to be in a urinal or something.
It's under a urinal cake.
Yeah, that's right.
No, oh, and me, I was thinking it was going to be like at one of the bars.
Yeah, that too.
I'm going to hide a Blaine. That's company business.
I'll be back in 2 hours.
I'll have one draft, and I'm just going to put this here. Please, just
leave it there.
Just leave it there.
So that'll be fun. So yeah, don't forget to do Hunt for the Blaine. It's a link to Dreadball. I have to go back and see. I hate to announce the wrong thing, but you'll get something at the booth.
Nice.
A discount at the booth. I want to say it was $10 off of something.
If need be, we at the Dead Zone podcast can do an errata or a correction at any point if you're like, oh my God.
I'm like 99% positive that I had in our meeting said $10 off. So.
And then right here is where I say, it's actually. Editor's note. It is indeed $10 off.
99.0%
sure. There's that whole 0.9% chance. You also have some Walking Dead demos, I'm sure, going on in the booth.
Yes, I think so. I think we're gonna have Walking Dead stuff. I don't know if we have demos. I think we're gonna be doing Dreadball in the booth.
Oh, Dreadball, yeah.
Yeah.
And then somebody else is running a Walking Dead campaign or something, right?
Yeah, someone is doing a version of The Walking Dead using the rules, but it's more like a, I want to call it like a sci-fi version of The Walking Dead.
They're just taking it because they like the rules so much?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good game. It's a fun game.
So sci-fi Walking Dead, would it be like Dead Zone Walking Dead? Dead Dead, that's what it would be called.
Dead Dead. Walking Zone.
That sounds far less. That sounds pedantic and something you do while queuing up and following orders.
It's a Morgan Freeman zombie movie.
Dead Zombie was my friend.
Anything else going on? What do you expect to have in the booth? All the usual goodies?
Yeah, usual goodies, the GCPS, we're going to have some Warpath, we're going to have some Dead Zone, we're going to have some Kings of War. Wave 4 of The Walking Dead we should have. I think pretty much that's it. I think Dungeon Saga is sold out for this print run again after we just reprinted it. So I don't think Dungeon Saga, the core games, will be back in stock until November-ish. So we'll have some Dungeon Saga stuff. I think I have just a handful of stuff left in storage. But for the most part, we're going to have a lot of Kings of War, a lot of Warpath, a lot of Dead Zone.
You're going to have Star Saga in stock?
We'll have some Star Saga stuff. Yeah, there is a Star Saga bundle. I forget how much it is. You're going to get the box, dice, and the GM screen.
Oh, yes.
For whatever that cost was.
Well, they'll find out when they get there.
Wish I could remember what it was. You know, the thing, that's why I have it. That's why I have emails.
Well, it's not that important. If you're looking for Star Saga, any price is the right price. Go, just go. And
yeah, and if you've ever had any of our deals, it's always a good deal.
Right.
Yeah, especially at the conventions, you always get stuff going on.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's one last thing, is the Mantic Open Night.
That is correct.
That's going to be on Saturday night.
That's going to be Saturday night, starting at 8 o'clock.
Not 8:02.
That's right. Well, Ronnie's there this time. It might be a little later. It's the last time Ronnie wasn't there, so they started on time. So.
That's true.
But still, I
don't be late.
There. I'll be there 1:45.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mantic Open Night, if you haven't got your tickets, get them on the Mantic website under events. It's $30 ticket. I guess there's some people asking what comes in the bag. The big ticket item is you're going to get a Hornet, a GCPS Hornet.
Yes, nice.
Which is a $40 model in itself. So for $30, you're getting a $40 model $10 off.
Yeah, who knows? Can anyone do that math? What's the? That's pretty good.
And then you're going to get two free drink tickets that are good for anything else.
That's probably another $30 right there anyways, those drink tickets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the most expensive drink, I think, on the menu is $16.
There you go. Is it a Merlot?
It's a Merlot. I don't know. You'll have to ask Tyler if it was a Merlot.
Ooh.
Or
we're being too nice to Tyler, so.
Or if it was a cabaret. Sogovanon.
It's got to be one of those fancy ones.
Or if it was a Chardonnay.
That sounds French. Chardonnay.
Chardonnay. Or Creole.
Yeah.
Got a little Chardonnay going on.
How do you like your black, your catfish?
A little Chardonnay on the side.
good.
But yes, it's once again, it's the hotel, like the event that runs the drinks. It's, you can't affect the drink prices, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is not in our hands. I think there's going to be a model in there of some sorts. I'm not sure what model is going in there at this moment, but, I think just the Hornet itself is worth the value.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like I said before, the drink tickets are worth value. It's just the Hornet's a free thing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Really, you're paying to get a State of the Union from Ronnie, to glad hand and meet some of the upper crust, like young Pat himself. Community Pat, that's worth the price of the ticket alone.
Ironheart Artisans also is putting something in the bag.
Yeah, last year they did, didn't they do a Dead Zone, or a Dreadball, or no, sorry, Walking Dead counter or something like that?
No, that was Art Rider Hobbies. Ironheart did the Warpath Suppression Tokens.
No, that's right.
Custom little fire tokens.
Yep.
So, I'm not sure what he's got going on. I mean, no, Alex is a good guy from Ironheart Artisans, and he always, all the stuff he does is quality, so whatever he puts in the bag, it's going to be spectacular.
And they just did that trophy for the Dreadball too, right?
Well, it's one of the things we're giving away for first place. It's actually a movement tray slash sin
bin. You could put your guys in it. That's cool.
Yeah, and it also substitutes as your sin bin. So if your guys get knocked out of the game, you can put them on that little tray and then work it. It's got a little force field, so it divides them up to how far you get knocked out and everything like that. So it's actually really nice. And then there's also a dice rolling area, and then when you're done, there's spaces to put your guys in so you can transport them.
See, that's pretty smart.
Yeah. So it's kind of an all-in-one thing. And he did it last year. This year he upgraded the version with the new rules in mind. So it's if you haven't seen it, go look on the Dreadball Fanatics page. He's posted it up. We've shared it quite a few times. It's a good looking little movement tree, man. I'm quite jealous of that. I don't have one.
You have to make him get you one.
Exactly.
You need something for doing all this work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, those gleans don't hide themselves.
No, not one bit.
I also, obviously, Ronnie's going to be there that night at Mantic.
Ronnie will be there for the Q&A. I mean, we'll start the night out with the Q&A, so you'll be able to grill Ronnie for any questions you have, or myself. Depending what you buy or how much of whatever you get bought to drink, you get put in Ronnie will determine how much and what kind of cool stuff he'll let out.
Yeah, you got to lubricate him.
Yeah, you got to kind of almost you almost got to kind of roofie him.
But not really. We don't want to be responsible for Ronnie being roofied.
But usually for the Mantic Knight, then there's also, you know, a couple of like little fun games and just some nonsense going on. So it's not just a Q&A and a couple drinks. It is kind of a social event.
Yeah, it's definitely a hangout. After the Q&A, I mean, this thing's going to go 4 or 5 hours. It's always gone 4 or 5 hours at the most, or at the least.
Yeah, we've closed it down plenty of times where it was like, okay, we've got to go, and it felt like you were just chatting with friends. I was meeting people like Christian and people I'd never met, and all of a sudden we were just chatting. We were like besties, and you know, Mark Zielinski, people. And next thing you know, time's gone.
Yeah, it's fun, and then like Jack said, it's not just all that. There's also side games to play. There's going to be some Dreadball. There's going to be a Kings of War Siege game going on. John Jack's put together a Mob Beast Roundup game. It's a nice little goblin rounding up Mob Beast kind of game. It's like a Kings of War version of a sports game. I think we're going to have the Dungeon Saga Bar Brawler too also, which is always fun. So there's just a kind of little games over there. Plus there's going to be open tables for open gaming. So if you don't get a chance to play a game of Dead Zone with Rob or Jack, you can always say, hey, let's play a game at Mantic Open Night.
Yeah.
You get Jack all sauced and take home a W.
Yeah. Or Jack, depending on, you know.
And then I heard there's rumors there's going to be some demos too, right?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Thanks for leading me because I totally slipped my head. So. Big news for Mantic Open Night, other than the Hornet, is that you will also be able to try out Vanguard and see the first sculpts. Ooh. For Vanguard. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be neat to see them in person because just the pictures they've been showing off have been amazing.
Yeah, so we're going to have some sculpts for everyone to see. We'll have some terrain crate stuff for everyone to see again. And then not only will there be Vanguard to be played, but I know Rob's very excited for this one. You'll be able to get to try out Hellboy in the pre-alpha release.
Yep. I'll be fighting people off to get in that one. That's for sure.
So if you're curious or on the fence about whether or not you want to be a part of the Hellboy crew or Hellboy game, now's the time to come try it out. Give your 5 cents worth of feedback if you want to. Yeah, so just any questions you have about Hellboy will be answered at Mantic Open Night, either from Ronnie or actually hands-on with the game.
There will be many questions. We're going to have a list.
So definitely $30 worth of value many times over.
I think so. I mean, you're going to get to do a lot of things. You're going to get some, you're going to get a nice model. You're going to get some drinks. You're going to get some nice third party stuff from Ironheart Artisans and everything like that. So you'd be hard pressed to match the value, I think.
Yeah.
Anything else? I think that covered most of it. It's going to be fun times. We'll be playing lots of games.
Yep. Sunday is the semi relaxed day. So no big events going on there. Other than the King's War second day. But Sunday's always reserved for the catching up, saying goodbye, and making your last-minute purchases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's Sunday night of hanging out. That's the key.
Yeah. So, I think that's it for Adepticon. I can't think of anything else.
Well, I'm sure we'll think of things as we're there. We're going to try to record stuff and actually put stuff out while we're there, but we'll see how that goes. But
I would like to. I would
yeah.
Like to.
We like to all the time. We like to do a lot of things, but time and having too good of a time usually gets in our way.
Lack of professionalism.
Don't worry. I'm going to have Rob and Andrew all ready to be doing some stuff.
That's good. Put them to work.
They'll be well compensated, of course.
We'll see.
But, I am nothing but a fair and just pharaoh.
I was meaning we'll see if we're able. Is the Andrew is going to be? He's up on it. He's excited to be helping out. But we'll see.
We'll see. That doesn't mean just because I'm fair and just doesn't mean I'm not afraid to use the whip. <It's
right. laughs> Andrew's got two good legs this year.
For every carrot, there's a whip, that's for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully before Adepticon, we'll be talking more about it, and if there's anything else that pops up, we'll be able to discuss, because I do want to, run down with Rob some of the stuff we got planned, and hopefully we can make it a productive as well as fun time, more so this year than last.
Yeah. Well, last year was fun, just not as productive.
Yeah.
So I think that wraps it up. We'll take a break. And we do have a review to go over, and we'll talk about that. We have some stuff that we've sent to us that is very interesting. We'll be back to talk about that. Thank you again, Pat, for being here. We'll bring it back. You can hang around for the review, too, if you want. But
Sure.
It was a fun time. Everybody, come to Adepticon. Meet Community Pat. He's a good guy. He's one of the good ones.
One of the good ones.
Hey, this is Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast, and you've been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast.
With Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast.
So much Dead Zone Podcast, it'll make you vomit.
And now, a review from your hosts at the Dead Zone Podcast.
And welcome back. Now, wasn't that musical interlude a delight? Way better than a commercial. There's no call for commercials in today's day and age in the podcasting world. And now, Rob, what are we going to do? Are we going to be taking a look at some things, doing a review?
We are indeed doing a review. This is from the company called Puppets War, and they're puppetswar.eu. I believe they're in Poland, I want to say. And they are a company who makes bits, pretty much. They make heads, they make shoulder pads, they make backpacks, they make weapons. They make mechs, which may or may not be coming towards me. yes, they make the cool stuff, and they posted a long time ago, probably, I would say, in the fall sometimes, they posted something called the Immortal Heads, and they were really cool helmets with skull faces, and we were instantly like, those would be the best enforcers I've ever seen. So I contacted them, and they were nice enough to send me some stuff to review, and they didn't just send those, they sent a bunch of stuff. So we'll go over all the stuff they sent us, and we'll have everyone's opinion on everything.
Yes, so for the sake of transparency, they were sent to us, so...
Yeah, well, obviously, they're review. We don't buy stuff. Actually, spoiler, there might be more stuff coming to us, but
yes, spoiler, there was much love, and I broke my wallet. When I pull out the bills and they're still creased in that like three equal segments that they've been in the wallet since so long, and I try and stuff it into the hard drive of my computer to make a purchase.
Yeah, that's not that. That's a disk drive, Jack. That's not a money slot.
Well, I very rarely make any purchases, but I was eagerly. I could not help myself. So, but spoilers.
So the first thing we're looking at is that immortal heads that they sent us. They are skulls in a helmet, and it is right now they're on for $8 US, or I think that's actually Canadian, or $6.80 euros. I don't even know how to say, Pat, do you know how to say euros? Is it 6.80? How do you say euros? Or pounds even. We always have this discussion. How do you say
like euros? It's 6 euros. And I forget what the cents.
I believe it is cents.
I think it's 80 cents. Yeah. I think it's 2 cents. Yeah.
Anyways, we have the links to where you can get them on the show notes. You do get 10 of them in a pack, and they are cool. They we did do a test model. I did a Pathfinder, and I put all the bits on him. And the first bit I put on him was his helmet, and it's a pretty good size. I think it would look better maybe on Peacekeepers. It's a little bit big, but it still looks awesome. Or even on normal Enforcers. So I use Pathfinder just because that's what I have a bunch of beside me, so that's what I put him on. But I think it looked pretty rad. What say you, boys?
We're allowed to look now?
Yes, you may look at the picture, yes.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Peacekeeper body type would be better for it, but definitely I like that head with the helmet would fit perfectly, I think.
Yes. And also we got the heads called the Valhalla Warriors heads, and it's the same price for 10 of those guys. And these Valhalla Warriors are I would say Norse guys but they have full face masks on, so they're almost a little sci-fi look to them. Jack, you were saying something. They look like Transformers to you.
One looked kind of like a Transformer, but now, like one looks kind of Optimus Prime-ish if you let your imagination wander, or maybe. But they're definitely robotic Norse. It looks sci-fi to me.
Yes, for sure. They got there's some angles on there that's definitely sci-fi look to it, and they're very cool. And we also got the Valhalla Champion heads. Similar thing, but these ones are Norse guys without the face plates, so you can see their facial expressions, and there's some really cool facial expressions. The one guy smiling down the bottom there, that's pretty creepy.
Yeah, and those could be fantasy, could be sci-fi.
Yeah, you could use them for either. And as an example, I did put one of those champion heads on a dwarf. You can look at that picture now, boys. And I think it looks pretty good. Pat, you're saying you think it's too small for a dwarf? I think it looks pretty cool.
I think it's too... Yeah, I think because the body looks way bigger than the head.
But I think it's a nice addition. You could also obviously put them on humans and make up some cool alternative...
Or I guess to say the body is not proportionate to the head.
Yeah. Well, he's just a little rotund. It's not his fault. He's had too much beer.
Maybe he needs to hit the gym.
Yeah, that's right.
But you just happen to have that model, so it fits the aesthetic for the Forge Fathers, but I don't know if it's the right size.
Yeah. He might have microcephaly.
Oh, Zika is a thing in the in the outer worlds?
Yeah, well, in the Forge Father world, I guess.
Oh, that's a shame.
There's a lot of mosquitoes on those Forge stars.
Where they're just hanging out, and next thing you know, that happens.
Microcephaly.
Yeah. Or voodoo. One of the two. It's got to be.
Yeah, maybe he was making fun of a voodoo doctor sitting next to Beetlejuice.
That's what I was thinking in my mind. Oh, no. Yeah, okay. We're on the same page.
They also sent us a Ripper suit. And these guys are big armored guys with So they got like a skirt on the front.
Now that is pretty dope.
Yeah.
They sent you that?
Yes, it's pretty cool. I think it's about the size of a Peacekeeper, I would say. If it's very similar sized, if not the exact same size. But he's a nice size piece of resin. They are only $11 or €10 for these guys. And it is pretty dope. It'd be a good addition. You can even like mod them up to be a, once again, a Ripper suit. They are called Ripper suits for them, but for the, you throw an orc head on there, you could set them up as one of those guys. Or as a special Peacekeeper, maybe in Peacekeeper Captain.
Mm.
That's right in your wheelhouse. I wanted to see your face when you popped open that package and that was staring back at you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they also gave us Roto Wing Packs, and they're like jet packs, but they're got wings on them. And they are $9.50 for 5 or 8 euros. And I, once again, I threw it on that Peacekeeper. And it is kind of cool. It kind of gives them a jump trooper kind of look.
Well, and the GCPS, GCPDS, when they're going to attack the Iceberg Lounge, they have that mechanic where they, that would be neat to have on them.
Aerial assault, yeah.
Yeah.
Aerial deployment, yeah. Yeah, it's a neat alternative to just having jetpacks on guys to throw some roto wings on them.
Yep.
It does kind of look like the Hornet too, right? It's got those kind of same aesthetic. It might be a good idea to put them on GCPS.
You'd have to see how they fit.
Yeah, once again, it's on the Pathfinder, so it's not much different size on the him, and it fits pretty good. It fits his back almost exactly, which I was pretty impressed with. Like, it's not just glued on there. It's like, it conforms to the contours of a model's back pretty coolly. I was impressed how well it fit.
That's cool.
And we also have two different types of shoulder pads. The first ones are called Airstrike Cav Termos ones. They're big. I would say they're big enough for Peacekeepers or even bigger, maybe even Strider size, to throw on some shoulder pads on your Striders. And they have all different designs. These happen to be the Airstrike, so they're kind of like the Air Cavalry symbol on the side.
Yeah.
And then the regular ones are they're like enforcer sized. It's pretty good, fits pretty good on them. So if you want to really snazz up your enforcers with their own symbols, and this is maybe one of the ones that we did buy some extras of, because there was a very cool squid one, that Cthulhu like squid one that we caught both Jack and I's eye. So.
Well, that's how you knew when I said, hey, I made this purchase. And you went, oh, did you know how big those are? I said, no. So you must have already, you knew from seeing them in person that I, my purchase, I'm going to have to be creative with how I use them.
Well, right now I'm telling you, they would look amazing on Striders, because Striders do have that like spot where you could put their shoulder pads. You replace them with these ones. They would be very cool. To once again make your guys look unique,
make them stand out. Yeah, and when you're making units and stuff for, say, firefight or something, you need one thing to make them, set them apart or something. One pauldron, one shoulder patch, something like that, to kind of tie everything together. That's the perfect solution right there.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, they have, once again, the selection on their site is ridiculous. They have if any kind of aesthetic, especially if you like skulls. Like, obviously, this company made its name by supplying 40K models. Like, that's, you could tell where they started, but I think they'd be useful for everybody. Anybody who has a sci-fi game, you want to snazz up your guys. Different heads and different stuff. I think that's for sure. They also have different accessories. They sell dice. They sent us some samples of their D6s. So they have the cool, the Jester on there, I think it's on the 6, which is cool. Yeah, it is on the 6. And they're neat looking dice. And they also do, wound counters or armor counters, which for, I'm not sure about Warpath, but in Kings of War, you always need wound counters. I think Warpath would be very similar, wouldn't it, Pat? You're counting,
yes.
Nerve and stuff like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So they have cool, like, they're magnetized, so that that you just spin it and it tells you what your wound is. So overall, really cool stuff. And we did buy some stuff. Jack, what did you, you really were struck by a certain head. Which head were the one that you liked?
Well, we'll have to see. When I get them in, we'll have to revisit. We'll have to, and I think the glory of it will be like, it'll be not a sponsored review. At that point, I've now made a purchase. Apparently, you're making a purchase, if I heard you correctly.
Yes.
So we're going to be making a genuine review of stuff that we've put our hard-earned money down on. And, so I'll save it. But I made some purchases.
Yes, it's come to the point with Dead Zone for us especially is that we want to spruce up our stuff. We've had so much of the other stuff built and painted. I have about, I don't know how many different Enforcer factions already painted up in different styles. Now I'm looking at different ways to change them. So this is definitely a way to do it. And I like them. I like them a lot.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see the stuff in person.
Yes. And other than that, I think that might wrap up the show. It's been a long one, but we had a talk with Pat about Adepticon, so it's good.
Yes, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, yeah, I think we've passed on a lot of important information, and as we draw nearer, I think this might be like the big information dump for us. We got the man himself. Thank you, Pat, for being here. I think. From here on in, it's just going to be a scramble we are in person at Adepticon.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, so it's going to be nonstop for sure.
Well, it'd be probably not until April or next show, but until then, I have been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
I'm Community Pat.
And it's been a good one. This has been Dead Zone the Podcast. We'll be back after Adepticon if we survive.
Post Adepticon.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.
We're going to be talking about the booster and starter now available at Mantic.
The faction that you guys don't love?
I never said that. I just hate painting them.
The faction that Coach hates?
Yeah, Coach seems to hate them. We never play them. We've never had a chance to play them, really.
Yeah, I think we've been very forthwith that since they've become official, we have not played them. So either the beta testing was enough of a taste, or it's just time. One of those two has determined it.
I'll be honest with you, I'll probably make a GCPS guide list, human list. That if I want to combine the two armies I have.
Oh, for Firefight.
And, or yeah.
Yeah, because you have the orcs already.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff you'd want to, like, say on a show, maybe discuss.
Yeah, stop talking.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the Rob.
What show would that be?
The one we're recording as we speak.
Oh, okay.
This is all going at the beginning now. It's an outtake.
Okay. Well, then I'll put away my Captain America shield, my Black Widow like fighting skills, and whatever else.
You're no longer the Taskmaster?
Exactly. See, Rob gets it.
It's my job.
Exactly. I just got to get entertaining now. I've affixed my bow tie, my shabby hobo hat, and my rubber chicken are prepared. We can go now.
Rubber baby bubby bumbers.
Did you do a sound check of any type? Or are we gonna?
We don't need to do sound checks anymore, Jack. We're professionals.
Check one.
I know.
Check two. Testes.
Testicles.
Sibilance.
Sibilance.